Hey, this is Ed Peterson.
And this is John Kiltica.
This is the High Gain Podcast.
High Gain Podcast, Ed.
Yes, it is. What do we talk about, John?
We talk about guitars and stuff.
And stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. Where are we recording from, John?
Beautiful West Seattle, Washington, Ed.
That's totally true. What's it like outside right now?
It's right now?
Yeah.
It's pretty dark out.
It's pretty dark right now because this is Sunday night.
Sunday night.
I woke up nice and early, and it was dark when I woke up.
Yep.
It was dark when I woke up, and I came up to John's, and we recorded this podcast at, you know.
We did.
6 a.m.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. Get it out of the way. Get the day started right. Love it.
Yep.
Technical difficulties, John.
We had technical difficulties.
We had a guest that we don't do that often, and we even checked our technical shit over the weekend, and everything was cool, and we fucked it up.
You know, with the internets and the computers and everything, you're bound to run into these things.
You know, it doesn't help with the guest or anything, but it is amazing that it's the first recording we've lost in 9 months or whatever. I feel good about that. I feel terrible about doing it on a day we had a guest.
Yep.
And we're sorry.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, guest.
And the, one of the penance of that is now we're doing it again at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday. I had to go see a movie afterwards, kind of clear my head.
Decompress.
Get into a better headspace.
Yep.
So I went and saw Serenity with Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway with my family.
Was it good?
It was crazy, John. It was crazy. Like if you... If
crazy
you,
good?
I was oddly entertained. There were a lot of just jaw-on-floor moments in this movie. You got to see a lot of McConaughey's ass in this movie.
Really?
Like, and if there's a perfect amount of McConaughey ass for a movie, this is just over that.
Oh, yeah.
just over the McConaughey ass line.
And was Hathaway doing her typical kind of looking worried?
She was worried a lot in this movie.
She's really good at looking worried.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, John, do I know what guitar that is?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Beverages.
Beverages.
I got to say it. That was fun.
The nighttime beverages. My lovely wife picked these out with Ed in mind. Tell the viewers what we've got there, Ed.
It's a probiotic Lifeway beverage, elixir tangerine. It's a spellbinding refreshment, it says.
It says tangerine holds magical powers associated with solar matters. Is that right? Apparently it promotes illumination, success, and protection.
We could have used this morning.
Yeah, I think so.
We went light on the success this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me try this out. That's great. Oh.
What?
I just had a big banger of it. Yeah, it's great. It's not a ripper. It's a nice subtle banger.
Yeah, subtle banger.
I like a nice 9 p.m. subtle banger, you know? Great. Tangerine Elixir Probiotic Lifeway Beverage. Their logo is very sort of Amway looking, you know? I could see some multi-level marketing going on with these guys.
But, you know, with the illuminating protection and all that kind of stuff, I wonder if this is like, what do you call it, with the going clear?
Some Scientology kind of stuff, some real L. Ron Hubbard kind of beverage.
L. Ron beverage.
I love it. Oh.
Is he technically still alive?
He had gotten as far as he could go.
He went clear?
With his, the mortal, I forget what he said. It was something crazy. And so he stepped to the next plane.
So he exists as the dust particles blowing around in my garage.
He's nice. Doing stuff. I think we bang it for the body.
Bang it for the body.
We bang it for the body as well.
Bang it for the body. 1958, Ed. As part of the Electric Spanish series of guitars from Gibson. That's what ES stands for.
Holy shit, John. Were you doing more research this morning?
Maybe. They had a whole bunch of those.
Okay.
Plain acoustic.
Yeah.
Big, thick jazz boxes.
Uh-huh.
No pickups in them.
In the ES line?
Yeah, because an option would be to attach a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So this ES-335 was the first thin line in the series, and the first commercially available semi-hollow body.
You said that, and I was surprised by that. And that's because the big jazz boxes were hollow.
Full-on hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Semi-hollow, meaning there's a big plank of wood that runs down the inside
of that. It's a solid block of maple.
It's not neck through.
No.
Okay.
It's not. In the middle, where the maple is.
Yep.
And on the sides, where it's hollow.
Yep. They make different noises.
Yeah. I don't know if you could hear that, viewers.
Yeah, I could hear it. And I could see you doing it.
Yeah. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And so they came out in 58.
Yep.
And were immediately successful.
That does not surprise me. That is way less of a weirdy looking guitar for the time. Like, people are more accustomed to that style.
Although, at the time, most of the big jazz boxes were single cutaways as opposed to double.
Right.
So that was kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so, first couple of years, 58, 59, 60, those are considered like the classics of these things. In fact, Ed.
Yeah.
This one I have right here.
Right.
This is a 1981.
Okay.
Why does that matter?
I don't know.
Because about that time.
Yeah.
They thought, let's go back to the classic. Let's make them like they made them in the day. So they went back to the dot inlays.
Oh, they got rid of the split. Yeah. Parallelogram or whatever bullshit.
And you know how far they went down that rabbit hole?
No.
They're like, we got to get one of our engineer dudes to take apart one of the original 335s.
Okay.
And recreate the humbuckers.
Two spec from 58 spec. Yeah. And they started that in 81?
Yeah. They got this guy, Tim Shaw.
Tim Shaw.
He was that engineer.
What's he up to these days?
He's doing stuff.
Okay, he's still banging stuff out.
He's still doing stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Tim Shaw took apart some old pickups and made measurements and electrical stuff and looked at magnets and, you know, he engineered the fuck out of it.
Yeah,
and that's... And he made these here Tim Shaw humbuckers.
Okay.
And by all accounts, they are really faithful recreations of what you would have gotten in 1958.
We call that period correct, boys and girls.
Yeah.
So 58, though, going back, we're going to rewind a couple years.
Yeah.
58. Mm-hmm. That's the year.
The magic year.
The magic year. God damn. That year with the guitars.
The Rickenbacker like, 300 series?
Yep. The Explorer. Uh-huh. The Explorer and the 335 coming out in the same year is a weird thing.
That stuff?
Yeah.
Was all our man Ted.
Ted McCarty.
Ted McCarty.
What's he up to?
Ted McCarty's not doing a whole lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's not.
Oh,
no more beverages for him.
No, you're wearing your ABBA shirt today, John.
I am wearing the ABBA shirt.
Oh, that's great.
In kind of half mourning.
What do you mean?
Well, I've been checking the internets.
Yeah.
Waiting for the new ABBA.
Right? I haven't heard a lot of new ABBA.
There is new ABBA.
Oh!
They announced it like last August, and I was like, wow, this is going to be crazy. End of the year, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, it's not going to be in 2018. So then I looked on the internets today.
Yeah.
It's like, the date we said it's going to be in 2019, that's not going to happen either.
No.
So I don't know what they're waiting for.
Perfectionists. They are making a classic. It's going to be like top of their game ABBA.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Who knows
I
when we're going to hear this.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That True Detective show.
Yeah.
You know that show?
Yeah.
The blonde wife, you know, who's the drunk in the show?
Uh-huh.
You know who her mom is?
Who?
Meryl Streep.
Really?
And now every time she comes on the screen, immediately I think Meryl Streep, and then I think Mamma Mia, and then I think Dancing Queen, because Meryl Streep's in that fucking movie.
Of course you do.
And so now I think ABBA every time True Detective, you know. There you go.
That's about right. This kind of heritage spec guitar is actually called the ES-335 Dot.
Because they went back to the dots.
Yep.
Okay.
There are lots of other options and iterations that were made. There was a 345.
Right.
It had a baritone switch on it.
Yep.
Which just meant you could set your volume and tone wherever you want. But then if you turn this switch, you could get multiple other kinds of tones.
More shit.
So the designations that they added to the end of the numbers, just so you know, now you know what ES stands for.
Mm-hmm.
At the end,
The
335, there could be T, stands for thin line.
Okay.
There could be D.
D.
Stands for double pickups. Double. This is a TD, thin line double pickup.
Could there be a TS?
Stereo. You could get a stereo out option.
Oh, weird.
Like the Rickenbacker thing.
Oh.
SV?
Yeah.
Was stereo and baritone.
Oh, okay.
You could get these things as an option right from the get-go in 58 with the Bigsby.
Hey, are you going to tell anyone what the 335 number came from.
Oh.
That was a thing you told me, and it was real cool.
Yeah. 335
mm-hmm.
is the number of dollars in 1958 it cost to buy one of these things.
That is great.
Yeah.
That is great. ES-335 meant electric Spanish $335.
Yep.
That should have been just industry standard. Everything should have been based on what it cost. So today, I got a Les Paul $42.99.
Yeah. So $335 in today dollars, give or take, it's like $3K.
Yeah.
People started playing them right away.
Yeah.
You know our man, Roy Orbison?
Yes. Big glasses, right? What's he up to?
Let's just say he doesn't need his glasses anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. He could leave those on the nightstand. It's not going to matter.
Because we lost him.
He's not coming back.
We lost him in the 90s, maybe?
88.
88, we lost him.
He was born in 36.
Roy was in the Traveling Wilburys.
He was.
With Jeff Lynne, who's still doing stuff to this day.
Yep.
With Tom Petty.
With George Harrison.
Man, that is a super group. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was some good stuff. Our man Roy picks that thing up in 1961, the ES-335.
Sure.
Plays it for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Early one, 61.
Okay.
Problem Child.
Yep. His voice is, I don't know, it's unmistakably Roy Orbison. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you hear that voice and it's just like, oh, Roy Orbison.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was 61.
Okay.
62, they changed from the dot inlays to the to the block.
Yep.
Dots to blocks, man.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, nuts to butts.
Yeah. Great. It's got binding running down the neck.
Some of them were so fancy as to have binding on the headstock as well as the body and neck.
It's got binding on the front and the back of the body.
It does.
There's nothing bad I can say about this guitar.
This one being 81 is pre-Henry, so you're in the clear.
Yeah.
It's still Norlin, but somebody decided, let's go back and make something that's faithful to the original.
That's great. Norlin stinking up the joint. Yeah. That's the classic the classic line. But I don't know. The Norlin era, they had some pretty funny stuff.
They had some stuff going on. Yeah.
They were trying. Okay, keep going.
They began doing some signature models.
Okay.
One of the first being the Trini Lopez.
Yep.
Trini?
Yeah.
Short for Trinidad.
Oh, Trinidad Lopez.
Yeah.
That's a cool name.
That's pretty cool.
That's a cool name. The Foo Fighters play the Trini Lopez.
Yeah. Dave Grohl had a Trini Lopez.
Has, right? Like
had.
I mean,
spent so much time playing it that he eventually got together with Gibson and tweaked out the design.
Sure.
And now it is the DG-335, the Dave Grohl.
It doesn't have the F-holes. It's got the diamond shape. Yeah,
diamond shape sound hole thingies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Firebird style headstock.
Right.
It has
right.
non-reverse with all the tuning machines on one side.
Yep.
I think that's kind of cool.
I don't think I like the Trini Lopez model. It's just as. I think I would just rather have a classic if I were going to, you know. But the Dave Grohl one is the Pelham Blue, which I think is killer.
That's pretty cool.
That's if you're going to get a color like that Pelham Blue, you could do worse.
Well, the Trini model was only from 64 to 70.
Sure.
So, relatively speaking, they're more rare, more collectible.
Okay.
I'm going to hit you with our man, Chuck Berry.
Oh.
1964.
Sure.
He's got no particular place to go, especially since...
Oh, no. What about Trini?
He's still around.
What's he doing?
Trini's doing stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if he gets any kind of kickback off those Dave Grohl guitars.
I wonder.
Send Trini a couple bucks, guys.
Yeah, come on. Help Trini out, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Riding along in my automobile. My baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild.
Yep.
Cruising. That's great.
And playing the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck. With
no particular place to go. What year is this?
64.
64.
Yeah. What do you know about Jim Reese?
Do I know anything about him?
He's a cat.
Jazz cat?
No.
Blues cat.
Rocky cat.
Okay.
He's not doing too much.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
He got dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But while he was not dead, he played guitar all over the place.
Okay.
Most notably with the Bobby Fuller Four.
Jimmy Reese.
Yeah.
Jimmy Reese.
He played on their super mega hit, I Fought the Law.
Oh!
That's Jim Reese.
That's
Jimmy.
Great. Did you say that name to me this morning?
I don't know.
I was blacked out. It was very early. See, this is one of those ones where I heard this song.
That song is so great.
Yeah.
1979?
Yeah.
It gets covered again.
Right. Oh.
Who is it, Ed?
What year is this?
79.
This is not The Clash?
It is The Clash.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you were saying there was another band covered it. Okay. Yeah. Not on a 335.
Right there is a whole lot of different kind of vibes. Like you hear the mellow Roy Orbison vibe.
Sure.
You hear the I Fought the Law original vibe.
Sure.
It could play so many different kinds of styles. It kind of speaks to what Ted's intent was in putting that block down the middle. He wanted the sustain of a solid body guitar, but he wanted kind of the ring chiminess that you could get from a hollow body.
What are you going to do? You're going to show me some stuff?
How versatile.
Oh, sure. Okay.
This is just two humbuckers, both on.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
One.
Yeah.
Neck.
Yep.
So it's very...
I mean,
you get a broad range of tones, and I've been noticing that it really holds up under... under some fuzz.
Well, I mean... Yes. Yes. Yep.
Ed loves it when I wank.
Yeah. You know, the fact that Dave Grohl is playing one of those in not a real subtle bluesy kind of band. He's gripping it and ripping it, you know, and he's playing a 335 effectively.
That's true.
Am I telling you the truth?
You're telling me the truth.
I got my legs kicked up.
I see that.
I am looking hella relaxed right
Ed
now, guys.
Ed is super duper relaxed. The funky meters. You know the meters? Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch what he does with the rhythm. This is called Chicken Strut.
It's great. This guy was a jazz cat. This guy did a little jazz, I think.
Maybe.
He knew some jazz.
Yeah.
You kidding me? Just keep on strutting.
Just keep on strutting, he's saying.
I'm going to keep on strutting. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? That's killer. You think this solo's 335?
Yeah.
Banging it out. Banging it out. That's great. That's great.
Their stuff is really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
I think you would really like it.
Okay. I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
I'm going to do it.
B.B. King.
Yep.
He gets a signature model.
Sure.
He always favored the 355. That was the one with the baritone switch.
He's got the baritone.
Uh-huh.
The guy's a sucker for the tone.
You know, BB is...
What's he up to?
BB is not up to much because he went out for a beverage and never came back.
Oh.
We lost him fairly recently, 2015.
Oh.
His real name, Riley.
Riley.
Riley B. King.
Hmm.
Yeah. Born in Mississippi.
Ah. The one good thing to come out of Mississippi, and we lost them. We lost the only good thing from Mississippi.
You say good thing, and you say come out of. I think that is critical.
Yeah. He did leave.
Yeah. Do you want to be a good thing from Mississippi? Leave.
Yeah. Yep, that's pretty ES-335 BB Kingy.
Yep.
I have to bring up my BB King thing that I really like him in Rattle and Hum, the movie.
Yes, me too.
He is great in that movie because you can just see that Bono and The Edge and the band are pretty on top of their game.
Right.
But even with being big, humongo rock stars, it's funny when you see someone super deferential to, you know, someone else. And they were very, like, in awe of that guy on stage. And they do the thing where they're, like, teaching him the song. And they kind of, like, are walking him through it. And they're like, yeah, it's you know, whatever, D, A. And he's like, I have no idea what chords are. Just play it and I'll do my thing. And yeah, I think he liked Bono's lyrics.
I think he did. He belted them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I like that movie.
This guitar here, Ed?
Yeah.
The one I'm playing with my hand fingers?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You'll notice it's natural.
Yeah.
These were not real common in natural when they first came out, although you could get them.
Yeah.
But not many were made.
Cherry, right? Cherry was the color?
Yeah, cherry was the main color.
Yep.
Now, if you could find one of these 58, 59, 60, whatever, in natural, it's going to be worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Our man Dave Edmonds
sure
has him a 1959 ES-335 natural.
Huh.
And he plays it on, you know, a whole bunch of his stuff.
Sure.
At some point, he covered some Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
You know, from Small Things, Big Things Come?
Nope.
Here's Dave covering it.
And this is Bruce Springsteen. 16,
Springsteen song, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds pretty bluesy. Sounds pretty 12-bar-y.
Bruce is not above that.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You want to hear some of the grit this thing can do?
Yes, I do.
You have expressed interest in our good friends, the Black Crowes.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I have.
Rich Robinson.
Rich Robinson. Who did he marry? Wasn't he married to someone?
Mrs. Robinson?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
He had one of those early ES-335s.
Yeah.
Damn shame, because the band had a storage unit.
Oh, no.
Up somewhere in New Jersey or Staten Island or something. And Hurricane Sandy ruined all his guitars.
No shit.
Including that 335.
Oh.
So he actually went to Gibson and said, here is my ruined 335. Can you make me another one that's just like this?
Yeah.
And they did it.
Yeah. But,
I mean, they're not doing it for me.
Right, right.
But I guess they'll do it for him.
Yeah.
That's really something, isn't it?
What year is this?
92.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
I really like that about this guitar. Hit it clean.
Yeah.
And it's got that punch, but put a little dirt on it and lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
It holds up. It doesn't kind of give way and get all mushy and you can't distinguish notes.
No.
It keeps that tone.
It certainly would not if it were a straight up hollow banger. Like at volume.
Yeah, it would be feeding back, and there might not be the kind of ring to it.
All right.
But you can also do the chugga-chugga.
Okay, I like that.
The Corrosion of Conformity?
Is they got cool logos.
Do they?
Yeah, you kidding? like skulls and sharp pointy shit. And,
I don't think I like that. That's dangerous.
That's come on.
This is called Clean My Wounds from the album Deliverance.
Okay.
Which marks our man Pepper Keenan's first outing as their singer.
He was normally just guitar. Now he's guitar singer.
And he's cleaning wounds.
And Pepper, also my pug dog's name. Yep. She's adorable. This is Chugga Chugga, E.
I really like this.
Great. Okay. I like it when you do that.
When I try to figure out the songs in real time.
Yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah.
All right.
That was 94.
Okay.
And it doesn't end. It never ends.
You said earlier that this is the longest running Gibson guitar made.
Yep.
That's unsurprising to me.
Yep. They started this in 58, never stopped. You want some quizzing?
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
Hit me with some new stuff. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. No.
What?
No, what? No. I don't know. John Spencer Blues Explosion is where I was gonna
That might have been a good guess.
That
was our good friends over at the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
I don't feel terrible about that guess. I mean, I kind of do because this is too normy for our guy John. John ain't doing that.
John who?
John Spencer.
No.
No, he's going to be doing some wackadoodle in the middle of that.
Let's go to Sweden, Ed.
Okay.
Yeah, let's listen to the Helicopters and our man Dragon. This is called Monkey Boy, Ed. Good old-fashioned American rock and roll from Sweden.
Okay. I got an empty woman in my head. Yeah.
If he don't stop, then I will soon be dead. I would move to Sweden and join a band like this.
Sure.
Hey, dude, you need somebody who knows American words?
I think they're doing a great job.
They're doing a great job.
They seem to know American words.
Let's see what their chorus sounds like.
He bangs a drum so I can get no sleep.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's the Helicopters.
Yeah.
And that was 2006.
We're coming up on real time. You could have pulled hours of music, of bands.
That is true. That's the thing about this guitar. So many different genres. It's nuts.
It's got a distinctive enough tone that it's one of those guitars where if you're a studio or a studio musician or just a guy who's trying to get that breadth of tone...
Uh-huh.
You're going to have a Strat, and you're going to have a Tele, and you're going to have a Les Paul, and you're going to have a 335.
Yeah.
Well,
you know Ed O'Brien?
No. I don't know who it is, but... Understand what it is. I don't know.
Great sound on that guitar, though.
I love it.
It's called Body Snatchers by Radiohead.
Oh, Ed O'Brien.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
I actually learned one ahead of time.
That's pretty good. Matt Wright's screaming at the, you know who Ed O'Brien is? You know? You know what I'm saying?
You like the Pigeon Detectives, Ed?
I like their name a lot.
This song's called I Found Out. I really like what he's doing with his 335.
Okay.
This guy's name is Oliver Mann.
Ooh.
So punchy.
Yep. I like the chant along. Yeah. That's good. I like the. Do you think that's a guitar or is that a keyboard in the background? It's a keyboard.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, like it was hard to tell. Okay, okay.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, Pigeon Detective.
Yeah.
John, learning Pigeon Detective songs.
Yeah.
Pigeon Detective.
I had to think a long while about that.
Did you?
Are they pigeons
who are
also detectives?
Yeah.
Or are they detectives searching for pigeons?
I hear that name and I think Inspector Gadget. You know that cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
If Inspector Gadget had a partner, it would be, you know, a pigeon detective.
Would the pigeon have a monocle?
Maybe. And then I could see those guys being the backing band in that cartoon. That would be great.
Listen to this, Ed.
Okay. Why are you playing an organ? Why did you bring an organ in here?
I got this 335 going through a POG, Polyoctave Generator 2.
Polyoctave Generator 2?
That's not all of it.
Okay.
You take that polyoctave generator?
Yeah.
And you put that into our good friend Recovery Effects' box?
Yeah. Phantom Operator.
The Phantom Operator?
Yeah.
It gets real, real fast.
That's killer. Not that I'm advocating this or anything, but, you know. It sounds like music you would murder someone to. Like, if you're wondering what the soundtrack of me murdering you is, it was just what John was playing.
And then, you know, who would have to find out the surrounding circumstances. And
the pigeon detectives.
Yeah.
They come in and they foil my,
yeah,
the perfect crime.
Yeah.
Pigeon detectives come in and fuck me up. That's great.
Let that be a lesson to you.
That's great.
I think it's I feel pretty good about this episode, take two. Don't you?
It feels like it's been a long day.
A little bit.
It was delightful.
Yeah, really good.
Great.
If you want to hear more about it.
Yeah. More about what?
More about us, Ed.
Oh, yeah.
Should go to the interwebs?
Yeah, yeah. Go to the Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram seems to be our spot. Our Twitter, maybe a little bit. Maybe some high gain.
Yeah.
Facebooks,
Why don't you follow us on the Instagram?
Yeah,
At the high gain.
Right.
You won't be sorry.
No, you'll love it. You know what we could do? We could post, like, nah, never mind.
What? Pictures of pigeons?
Yes. Oh, that's great. Yeah, we got a lot of pigeons here in Seattle. Not into them.
I don't think any of them are detectives.